Father, grant it, Lord, as we walk in thy ways, in thy word, we pray, Lord, that we walk in the way that the beauty of Jesus will be seen in us, Lord. We live in the world, Father, now, this couple of weeks that's going to be left for the world. We know it won't be long now, Father. When that trumpet sound, Lord, to gather all your children together, to hear the final words for the redemption of this, our fleshly and corruptible body. So that, Lord, his mortality will put on immortality. And together, Lord, with those that resurrected, that we may be caught up together to meet you, Lord Jesus, in the air. We know the hour is at that junction of time now, Father. So let us be men and women sober as regarding, Lord, our conversation of life in Jesus Christ, our Lord. And we ask for your blessing now, Lord, that your word be once again, Lord, broken down to our understanding. That the word become a reality in our life. We fulfill according to what you have so written in thy word. For this we ask, Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. You may be seated. And let us go to the book of James chapter 2. We're going to finish off the last second half of the chapter. As again we are looking at the book of James, we know that this book of James is not about any particular doctrine, but it is about the way of life. It's about our conversation, how we manifest our life in Christ Jesus. So we look at chapter 2 now, and we begin with the verse 14. What doth it profit, my brethren, though the man say he have faith and have not work, can faith save him? If a brother or sister be naked and destitute of daily food, and one of you said to them, depart in peace, be ye warmed and filled, notwithstanding you give them not those things which they are needful to the body, what do it profit? Even so, faith, if ye have not works, is dead, being alone. Now here the subject of this rest of the chapter 2 deals with the faith that works. So now when we begin reading this verse, first verse of verse 14, what do it profit? If a man say he have faith and not works, can faith save him? Now, I want to say this, that when Martin Luther came into the truth, he had been a priest for about, I think, 12 years. And in his doing a penance, going up the step, you know, and there were other priests with him, going up, some had come down because he reached up to the top where there's the shrine of Mary. Well, he did whatever confession of penance he had, what they had done, and so they came down, and so the rest was working. He was working up on his knees on these steps to do his penance. And that's when God spoke to him, he says, Luther, the just shall live by faith. Now, when he heard the voice of the Lord, now don't say, oh, what a privileged man. Men like Luther, like Brother Branham, even like Brother Tony Rohana, on our visions and all that. Huh? I mean, many of us may say, wow, if only I could hear the voice of God spoke to me like a man speaking to me, and I can hear it with my ears. You know. So you see, God doesn't always do what you think you want Him to do. That the way He ought to do for you. God works in marvelous ways. But the most important way that God speaks is the still small voice. And I know that many of us can hear Him. Don't you know that? You know that. You know you heard, He called you, He spoke to you, but many times we just ignore that voice. But you know, Martin Luther heard the voice, he came down and now he found the pearl of great price. He went to the book of Romans and he searched it out and found the truth about all about salvation, this and that in Christ Jesus. Because he realized that the judge shall live by faith and not by doing penance, pay for mass. But you know, when he came across this book of James, he had really a big problem. And I believe he said that this book of James was like straw. You see, the problem is that Luther did not quite understand what James was talking about. Because Paul was talking about salvation by grace. Because in Ephesians 2 he said that, 2:8 says that, by grace are you saved through faith. And that not of yourself, it is a gift of God. God give you this grace, a gift, and open your eyes to see the faith. So it is God's grace, a gift given to you, and open your eyes to see by the faith that He gave to you. And nothing to do your work with works, because as Paul said in one place, that if doing good work can save you, then grace is no more grace. So Luther had a problem understanding what James was saying. And that's why he cannot accept James, the book of James. He found it very hard. He said, this is something wrong with this. Because Paul talked about grace, without work, you have salvation. Now James seems to be talking that you must have a faith and you must have work. But that is not what James was saying. So now what James was saying in this passage of chapter 4, verse 14 all the way down, it was dealing with the faith that you claim that you have, a faith that must really manifest the truth of what you have. So the word work is used. So, for example, we know that you said that you are a Christian. Then your life must be a changed life. If your life is not changed, no manifestation of a changed life, that means your faith is in vain. Because the faith must manifest. To manifest is to work. Something happened. Isn't it true? Now, if I take a seed, if I take a mango seed, if I plant it there, and I said, this is a mango seed. If I plant it, now you know that the mango seed will do its work. Because God will, you know, you water it and you put it in the earth, the sun will come, and after several days or so, you will see it start to grow. So, because it is a mango seed, it will sprout out and become a mango tree, and to prove that, the seed said that, to prove that I am a mango, I will produce mango. That's true. Apple will produce apple. Therefore, if you are a Christian, you will produce the character of a Christian. That's what I mean by works. To prove. So now here, James said, what do it profit, my brother? Don't a man say he has faith and have not worked, can faith save him? Now, that's why Luther said, what? Can faith save him? If it doesn't have work, faith cannot save. My faith in Jesus Christ is free, so how can I what? So it becomes a situation. But what he's saying here again, as I mentioned, a faith that manifests itself to be real. If your faith is not real, it will not save you. So now he gives an example. He said, if there is a brother or sister, he was naked, you know, and don't have nothing much to wear. Not that he's naked completely coming into a church or something. Now that is to say he's poor, he has nothing much, and no food to eat. And then you said to him, oh well, go in peace. Be warm. Means be clothed. and be filled with the stomach, and you give him nothing. You know, this is a simple illustration. I mean, everybody knows what James is saying. Alright? He said, what do it profit then if you tell a person like this? You know. No, as Jesus said to the disciples, the poor you have, always. You cannot escape the poor. They are everywhere. Even in Singapore, people think that Singapore is so rich, that a country that there's no poor around. That's not true, huh? People think that it's rich, but the problem is people don't realize how much it costs to get for lunch. Huh? Isn't it? You can go across the causeway to Malaysia and you can get a reduction at least about 40% what you pay for here. Do you know that? Only of course you have to cross the causeway. And of course you have to pay the bus fare and the trip fare, of course. You know? But otherwise, you can see the food, the prices, even in the Philippines, huh? You know, how much you pay in the Philippines? What's the percentage? Half the price? Or maybe even less? You see. Why the country is rich? Is it because, well, of the economy? But it because with the rise of the economy, things go up too. And people don't realize that the people here in Singapore have to work hard to pay for what they can get. And you know, I was surprised when I saw in the newspaper that just 2 days ago, yesterday, that the price of a COE, Certificate of Entitlement, you must buy it before you can buy the car or buy the motorcycle, right? And the price of a COE has gone up, for the motorcycle has gone up to more than $6,000, over $6,000. Crazy. Because a simple motorcycle is probably worth about that much, and I have to pay $6,000 to get a piece of paper to go to the shop and buy for a motorcycle like that. Unbelievable. So you see how people cannot say, oh, because it's rich country, everybody here is rich. That's not true. But that's the impression people of poor country, I think. You know. So, as Jim always say, if you are the brother who saw the needs of another brother or sister in this condition, and he say, and you said to them, be clothed, be warm, be filled, and you provide them nothing of these needs, is your faith real? Is your faith real? Even in simplicity, people who are not even Christian, see somebody in need, give it, right? You know? So these are, maybe Jim might be exaggerating, but this is the thing, these are things that happened in the past. In the early church, this thing happened. Because why? Many of the things that James talks about here are those who are rich men and women. And they didn't even think much about helping those who are the poor brothers or the poorer sisters. But then another word comes up here, poor. So what do you mean by poor now? What do you mean by poor? Poor as in poor, or poor as in 2 Thessalonians. Let's see, 2 Thessalonians. How do you define poor? How do you define poor? I had once a little remark from someone in the States. Let me tell you what happened. I was in the States first year or second year with my wife and Zoel and Zoe when they were kids, and I was muck after we went to Disneyland and came back and outside the hotel I was muck and phone and I could have died in that one incident. But so we lost our passport, everything was, you know, pulled away from me in my bag, I mean the bag that I was carrying. And so I have to stay with the family in San Francisco. So from LA we went to San Francisco, stayed on with them until we get our passport and our clearance travel document to get out. So we were there with the family, I can't remember, I think about 2 or 3 weeks there we were there. And one day the brother of the house, he's an elder,
in the church of Brahmahotin at that time. So he said to me, he said, we just have a discussion. But again, he said, do you have a television at home? I said, yes. Oh, Brother Khan, how can you have a television at home? You know, in those days, back in those days, it seems that a lot of people seem to be against television because Brother Khan said, if a television blow it away, huh? Or throw it out of the house. And I have some minister from overseas that came to Singapore and told me that. And I told you, one of them, he was staying in a hotel, and the hotel always have a television, which is usually on the front of the wall or the corner. And when I went into to visit him, I stand at the door and saw the television in the corner being turned and faced the corner. You know, I was kind of surprised that the television is facing the corner. I asked him, how is the television facing the wall? Oh, I face it. I said, why? It's an evil thing. I still remember to this day, and I said to him, I said, brother, that television is a dumb thing. I spoke to him very direct. So how can you say that, brother? Because Brother Bram said that you shoot it out and throw it out the window, throw it out the door then. I said, you know, you have a shotgun. If you have a gun in Singapore, you already be in jail already. Because you're going to suppose you have a gun. You want to follow literally what Brother Bram said? Shoot it. Right? Or I'll throw it out the door. Literally, follow instruction. As Brother Bram said, if you say you believe, you should follow instruction. So why don't they do it exactly? Throw it out the window. If you have a bomb, throw out the window, see what happens. In Singapore, you will be throw out little kids. So you know, the way they were saying this sort of thing, I was just wondering how foolish people really are. You know, so, and this brother was asking me then in the street, in the little town, I said, yes. I said, you know, it's a terrible thing, it's a lot of bad things. I said, brother, I think maybe, he was quoting Brother Abraham too. I said, maybe here in the state, you know, you've got all kinds of movie, all kinds of things on the television, but in Singapore, we have all things out there are censored. Huh? You know? They were singing, they were saying other thing. And then I noticed that there was no magazine in the house, there was no newspaper in the house, only the radio. You only have a radio. You know? Then he asked me, brother, again, what? Do you have a car? Do you drive a car? I said, no, brother, I cannot afford a car, I only have a motorcycle. Oh, you drive a motorcycle, you handle a motorcycle? I said, yes, brother. So what's wrong with that? He said, you are a preacher running a motorcycle. I said, what's wrong with that? You know? Yeah, I said, are you thinking that I'm in middle like the hell angels? You know the hell angels? Those, what do you call that, punk or the hippies, you know, running motorcycle on Harley Davidson, you know? Are you talking about that? Look like the hell angels? He said, I couldn't fathom how a preacher running a motorcycle. What does it look like? I mean, I'm just a human being riding a motorcycle or bicycle or riding on a buffalo. What's wrong with that? You go, what kind of image do you have? You know, you see, and then he said, oh, but again, you have a television, you offend me. I said, brother, you have this wonderful house. You have a car. You know what, brother? You offended me. Because I couldn't afford it. You see, how do you look at things? How do you quantify riches, poor? What is right? What is wrong? How do you quantify it? As the Bible said, all things are lawful, but not all things edify. That is true, isn't it? Now here we have Chinese New Year coming up tomorrow. People are going to eat themselves to death, I guess. I don't know. And then you see the bak kwa. You know bak kwa, huh? Means pork. And you know all the goodies and all that. Do you know how unhealthy those things are? Yeah, it is lawful for you to eat, but not all things edify. That's what the Bible always said, be moderate. You should, you know, the body is the temple of the Holy Spirit, right? God wants us to keep it, not indulge in it. Yes, I know the Indians love mutton curry. Huh? And you know, Indians, they love mutton curry, and you see some people, especially the northern Indian, they eat all those mutton curry, they eat all those nice food, and then you see all the Indian in the north, they're always big size. Overweight, like the American who eat beef, steaks and all this, and what, the hamburger and cheeseburger, and they get overweight. But in the southern India, there are not many, because vegetarian people, they're different. So, what you eat is what you are. Now, so I'm asking the question is, when you say about the Bible, say about poor. Well, what is poor? Let's go to 2 Corinthians, chapter 3, verse 10 to 12. For even when we were with you, this we command you, that if any would not work, neither should he eat. For we hear that there are some which walk among you disorderly, working not at all, but are busybodies. Now, them that are such, we command and exhort by the Lord Jesus Christ, that with quietness they work and eat their own bread. You know, people in Philippines, maybe also in India and Africa, but again, we cannot afford it, we are poor, this and that, please send somebody helping this and that. Now, if you are already joining in poor, okay, we will do whatever we can to help you. You know, that's why, you know why sometimes in the past we used to send, until last several years ago because of the postage regulation, we used to send boxes, 10 kg boxes, which is the limit at that time by sea. Boxes of clothing. You know, they want money. I says, no, we'll send you boxes of clothing to clothe you. So the money that you earn, whatever you have, buy your food. Because we don't know when you send the money, whatever to do with the money. You know. So, and if those already in need, we do help. But there are people like this that Paul talks about. They are poor because they do not want to work. I have seen it with my own eye. Minister is in the Philippines. And it is very common also in India and Africa. Because they are third world country. And one minister in America said, when he talked about the Philippine ministers there, and he being an evangelist, a missionary, and nobody in America supported him. And yet there was some money to all these preachers out there in the Philippines to help them build churches. When he said, these people are not really preachers. They are preachers because they have no work to do, and so they be preachers. And that is very true, you know. I hope you understand what I'm saying.
Yes.
Because there's no work, because they cannot find a job, because they are not educated, they are not hardworking. You know, there are people, they are poor, they have no education, can really find job to do. Whether it be a fisherman or a farmer or do something. Have some integrity. No, some of these preachers don't have any integrity. They just want to be preacher and start and preach and all that. You know. Or some turn out to be good preachers or high pastor, but not all. You see. And if they would go and say, please support us, please support this. And I know one minister over in the Philippines. And the same over also in other country. They go to a place, they have a small church, maybe a dozen people. And he works and he preaches there in the community and all that. Nobody comes. He got so little tithes. So what happened? He left the church and go to another place to find greener pasture. Oh my. If God call you, as Bob would make a simple statement, if God call you, God feed you. If the denomination call you, denomination feed you. That's why he told one of the preacher when he preached about, when he indicted America for crucifying the word, and when he preached, what we are not, the denomination, what I'm against organized religion. One of the preacher in one of his sermons, I can't remember, after the service, laughed. He said, Brother Bram, I am with this organization. Now, if I were to leave this organization, where do I get my food? And Brother Bram simply said, curse the denomination. That's true. You know. You see, if I'm not called of God, and if the ministry I started does not work, that means God has not called me, I go back to work. That's what happened in the past. When the brother came and joined us, and then after 2 years he split the church because of his own so-called revelation that there's no such thing as a fivefold ministry following a man from Canada who doesn't know what he's talking about. And he called me up 2 weeks later. He says, but again, he says, now that we love the church, the tithes and offering will not be enough, is it? I said, don't you worry, my brother. You have made a decision to separate, just be at peace, go. If God has not called me and this ministry failed, I go back to do my nursing. I just go find some other job. But if God called me, He will feed me, this ministry will go. Simple as that. You know one thing, if there is a church, like Brother Jackson said regarding those groups at Ephesus. When Paul went up there, he found a group. Right? Have you received the Holy Ghost since you believe? You see, he made this remark, which I think is so very true. If there is a group of people that form a church, no matter how small the group is, if it is a people of God, God will send the apostolic ministry their way, and they will come to know the truth of what God's word demands. So you see, I base my calling upon what God called me to do. And there are many ways, different things that God called. And one of them is a prophecy, as you already know. There I wrote, God shall raise you up, to raise up a standard in this part of the world, so they will go to other parts of their blessing to others in other parts of the world. So if that is what God had already spoken, I have any question to say I do not believe, or there is a maybe. So that will always be testing. But here they said, we need to work. But there are people, and those are poor even today. They do not want to work. They want to find easy money from somebody, other country. You are rich, please help us. We are brothers. And the Bible said that we are brothers and sisters. So you are rich, I'm poor. You should help the poor. One minister was over in Singapore years ago. Came up to me and said, Brother Gan, at that time I was still working as a nurse. He came to me and said, Brother Gan, Brother Bram said, the tithe belongs to the minister. I said, yeah, I know that. And he wasn't in my church, he was when another church started. He came out from the denomination and wanted to get my money. And he said, you know what, Brother Bram said, Brother Gan, tithe belongs to the minister. I said, yeah, I know that. He said, you are not full time. I'm a full time. So the tithe, your tithe must be given to me. Wow. I was there in my home, I was mopping the floor when he came and my wife was there. He told me like that. I said, Brother, God called me to do a ministry. This tithe, I even give my tithe to this ministry because I'm working. And the money of this, the tithe is for the printing of the books, for the postage, for the tapes, to be them to be sent out. Those days were just a couple of $100 because there were only a few of us. And he wanted to ask me for the tithe. He was not satisfied, he went off, and a few weeks later he called another brother, well-known brother, I don't want to mention his name, to come and talk together. And so we went together and he got with Brother Shanky. We were out there sitting at the ice kacang store, you know, this shred of ice. So we were sitting there. And there were one, two, three, four, I think there were five of us sitting at the table eating shred of ice. So they were talking, he was asking me, talking about these things, and so discussed, get me to give the tithes to him. The man whom he called was a man who's always a busybody. Has nothing, no good to do. Did this day call himself a pastor? Has no fellowship, no sheep of his own. Just causing problems to scatter people to scatter. And I told the brother, I said, you know what Paul said? You know what he said? He said to me, I said, why don't you work? I asked him. He said, no, I don't work. He says, why not? I said, I'm a preacher. I don't work. My father was a preacher. He doesn't work. My grandfather was a preacher. He doesn't work. I said, well, don't work, don't eat then. Paul said so. And it made him very, very angry. I did not come here to ask you for tithes. I said, what are we sitting here for? Eating ice kacang? What are we here discussing? You're asking for money. My tithes to you. Remember you came a few weeks earlier? And then what are we sitting here? You call for this. You know, that's the problem with people. The tithe does not belong to the minister, it belongs to the ministry. You know what I mean by ministry? Ministry has many forms. Right?
You know, people don't seem to understand that.
That's what happened over in the Old Testament. They put the money in the box for maintaining of the church meeting. So the money that belongs to the Levite, they are given to the Levite. There's always this ministry here and there.
You see.
Money that we need to buy, well, all is set up. Right? These are ministry, these are the place, fund for the outreach. So it's not just the ministry, everything goes to the ministry.
No.
See? So when we talk about the poor, we need to know what the poor really is. Okay? Alright there, verse 17. Even so, faith, if it have not worked, is dead, being alone. If it have not works, means if it have no life. Alright? You have no life. So now, you know that when a baby is born, if it doesn't have the life, the baby doesn't move, it doesn't cry, means the baby is dead. There's no life at all. Because there's no sign of manifestation. The first thing a baby came out of the mother's womb, he'll cry. If you don't cry, means something is blocked in the nose or the mouth, just suck it out. And the baby will cry. No matter how you whack him and he doesn't cry, means the baby is stillborn. Is that alright? That's true. So even faith, faith, if have not worked, if you have not any sign of life, manifestation, it is a useless faith. Being by itself alone, I have faith. It's like a seed. If you don't do anything to a seed, just leave it on the table. What happened to the seed? It doesn't grow. It's just because there's no manifestation. Because the first of all, that the thing must, the seed have to do is that you have to bury it. As you know, why Jesus Christ manifest that life of God for you and me by first dying. When he died, then he bring forth much fruit. That's real faith. Die to self. When you say that you believe, let us continue with the rest. Verse 18 now. Yet the man may say, thou have faith and I have works. Show me thy faith without thy works, and I will show thee my faith with my works. Now here, as we know that James is using this example of a poor person, where you know that he's poor and he's not having any clothing on and needs food and you don't do anything. It shows that you who can afford to give are not doing anything to give. You are selfish. In the first place, you said you are a Christian and you can afford to give something and you don't give it to do it to support somebody who is in need. That means to say that you are selfish. I always think when I come across this word selfish, I always think of Scrooge. Is it Scrooge? The one in the Donald Duck, the one who hoards a lot of money, counting his money all the time, and very very selfish in giving it out. And that's what it is. Scrooge. You know. So continuing, he said, if a man may say, yeah, a man may say, thou hast faith, and I have works. Show me thy faith without thy works, and I will show you my faith by my work. I will show you my faith by my life. Manifestation. Something that have life. Faith is a revelation. You look at the Buddhists, for example. The Buddhists believe in the teaching of Buddha. To show that they really are practicing true Buddhists, they really follow what the teaching said. Is that right? You agree with that?
Sure.
So the same thing with our faith. If we said that we have this faith that in Christ Jesus, that he died for me and I'm born again, I have a new life, then there must be the reality of that new life, the Spirit of God in you. And so when we talk about
being a Christian, we are talking about being born again, being filled with the Holy Spirit. We are baptized by the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit quickens us and we become alive. And we know that the sick cannot be quickened until it is buried in the soil. And we can never be really being born again until we are buried with Christ. In His death. Huh? It's easy for you to confess, I believe in Jesus Christ. That's just a confession. But that's where James is trying to tell people, you must show that you are a changed man. If you really have that life, it will automatically change. Just as Abraham said, you don't have to tell the sheep, please, please, please produce wool. Right? The sheep will produce wool. You don't have to tell the sheep to produce wool. It will produce wool. Go and tell the buffalo, please, please, please produce wool. The buffalo look at you and you must be very silly. Because buffalo don't produce wool. An animal, that's what it is, will do what it's supposed to do. A dog will behave like a dog. A dog doesn't meow. Unless you are an animal trainer who try to get him to meow. And I don't think it's possible for you to teach a dog to meow. Only a parrot could do that. Because a parrot has the vocal cord because he's a parrot. That's why he's called a parrot. Parrot, whatever you want him to say, meow, meow, he'll meow. He said, whoa, whoa, he'll say, whoa, whoa. You know that, isn't it? But not a dog. A dog is not a parrot. Tell the dog to meow, he will just look at you. You say, meow, you look at him. He will never even bow out to you. You see, that's the nature of the animal. So the nature of Christ that is in you must manifest that life of Christ. So, I will show you my faith by my works, my changed life, that is to say. That's just a simple. Now, when we talk about faith, how does faith operate? Let's look at the three things. Let us look at Ephesians chapter 2. I think we all know this. What are we saved by? Well, Ephesians chapter 2 verse 8. For by grace are ye saved through faith. And that not of yourself, it is the gift of God. We are saved through faith. Okay, let's look at another one. Romans 1. Romans 1, 17. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed, from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. First he says through faith, now it's by faith. Okay, let's look at another one. Romans 4:20. He staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God. So now here you have in faith, through faith, by faith, in faith. Okay, in is an interesting one. Okay, let me just give you another verse about in faith. Let's go to 1 Timothy and chapter 2 and verse 15. Notwithstanding, she shall be saved in childbearing if they continue in faith and charity and holiness with sobriety. Now you see the word here, well, it's regarding women. Here's one problem. People look at this verse and they don't know how they interpret. Many people have many different versions and interpretations to this verse. Notwithstanding, she shall be saved in childbearing if they continue doing this. Oh, you woman, I'm so sorry. You have to give birth. You must have child. You must have children, or else you're not saved. Is that what the Bible is trying to tell you? Huh? You see, first of all, let's look at the word true faith. What do you mean by true faith? By grace, I just said true faith. True, go true. True is a motion, a movement, right? So now we are all going through our faith. Isn't that so? Are we going through our faith? And every time, after 10 years, any year, you're going through your faith, something says, I don't believe Jesus is real. He is a false god. I denounce him. 20 years as a Christian, rubbish. He's not real.
You know, you deny. You say you have never been born again. All what you have is some kind of sensation or experience for 20 years. If you are being in a state where you are putting on trials and tribulations and persecution, you may go through a hard time, right? But you deny the Lord, something is wrong. In the same thing with the Jew, what happened to the Jew in all those years in the past? They were rebellious, and all that. God sent them prophet after prophet. God, they were testing God's patience. But God is full of patience. But when God gets angry, He doesn't punish you. No, He chastises you. The word is, God doesn't punish us. I want you to know that, huh? Okay? Don't use the wrong word. Don't punish me. No, God don't punish you. God chastises you. You know the difference between chastisement and punishment? Huh? Punishment is a judgment. That's no hope. A chastisement is a punishment that has hope. You understand? In that, because God is making you to be aware. So because of the Jew, what the Jew did, God chastised them, and God says, now I'm going to cut you off your land. You will become you become fugitive. Prisoner. Captive. So that's what happened to them. The Assyrian captivity, the Babylonian captivity, and they were dispersed over the world. And then when they came back and built a temple again, Jesus came, and then again they said all kinds of things. Crucify him. Let his blood be upon us, our children. When you say that, God look down. I will take your word what you want, and I'll give it to you. So some of the early, what happened? The Romans laid siege to the city and destroyed the temple, destroyed the city. The Jew horse got over the world again. Right? And now, 1917, the British have control of the Middle East. And Balfour declared, we'll give this piece of land to Israel. Good. Because God has blessed another kingdom. Or the sun never set upon the Union Jack. So they have so many countries, they were Commonwealth. Part of the United Kingdom, right? UK. A few months later, 6 months later or so, they changed their mind. We're going to annex this peace for you, only for this peace for Israel only. This peace will be for this Jordanian and this part for this and this part for that. What happened after that? Huh? What happened? Several years down the road, slowly, the United Kingdom loses their Commonwealth country. The sun never set upon the Union Jack? Oh no, it set upon the Union Jack. Because Singapore is no longer part of UK. Malaysia is no longer part of UK. India is no longer part of UK. Hong Kong is no longer part of UK. Huh? Many countries there was one under UK, no more. And what happened to the United Kingdom today? They still want to say, we are a Christian country. And go and look at the poll. How many percentage of the people say that they are a Christian country? The Prime Minister said, no, we are a Christian country. Oh no, you are not. That is America now. When they call herself a Christian country. It's a shame. They have let down the bar. But Israel, God stood up with them because you are my people. I will not break my promise. No matter how stubborn you are, I'm going to break you. And after all those years, Second World War, there were the Holocaust. Painful, huh? Painful, isn't it? The Holocaust. 6 million Jews died. Not all, there are 6 million. Not all 6 million are Jews. Anybody, there are some gypsies and others. But they suffered. And yet, not all cursed God and died. There are all those majority that will hold on to the faith. they hold on to the faith. And even after the Holocaust was over, the war was over, and in 40 years the land was given to Israel, Israel came back to the land. But there were still those out there, in Russia, in China, in Europe, in India, in Australia. Many of them still are always saying, looking forward to the whenever they have the Passover. Oh, they were always pilgrims. Rosh Hashanah Haba, Yerushalayim. Next year in Jerusalem. This is next year in Jerusalem. Now they came back in 48, 50s, 60s, 70s, 80s, 90s passed. Now we are in the 21st century. There is a whole lot of events changed. And you know what the Jews are doing now? Huh? Hashem Melech. You know the song? When I first played that, when it was first written? The Jew has always been looking now. They know that this is their days. That the Messiah is going to come for them. They have never sung this kind of a song like that before. They are even singing that song, Hashem Melech, into a rap song. People are just singing Hashem Melech. Yes, the king is coming to them. And surely it is. So, when we say go through the faith, then by faith. What is by? By is what it means by an agency. By grace, as you say, through faith. And yet, by faith, I see the promised land. By an agency, by revelation, by faith, by revelation, I saw the promised land. So I live by faith. And I live through faith. And I live in the faith. In is a position. You said you are in the faith of Christ. What is your position? You said you believe. You are in the faith. People say, are you in the message? You know what I mean? You ever heard people say, are you in the message? Are you in the message? Are you in the faith? If you are in the faith, you are in the position. Then manifest your position as a believer, as a son and all the daughter of the living Christ. That's why I'm a child of a king, I'm a son of a king. I'm in this position. And by faith, I'm going to sit with Christ in his throne. And therefore, through faith, I walk. Right? I will walk through this faith of mind that I have. But when it comes to this verse of 1 Timothy, just give you an explanation here. 1 Timothy 2:5. Notwithstanding, she shall be saved in childbearing if they continue in faith and charity and holiness. The word in childbearing, notwithstanding. Now, if you take this verse like that, you can't interpret. You have to read within context in the verse. From verse 9 onwards. What was Paul here talking about? What is Paul talking about? In like manner also the women adorn themselves in modest apparel, with shamefacedness and sobriety, not with braided hair, or gold, or pearl, or costly array, but which become women professing godliness with good work. Let the woman learn in silence with all subjection, but I suffer not a woman to teach, nor do you have authority over the man by being silent. For Adam was first formed, then Eve, and Adam was not deceived, but the woman being deceived was in the transgression. Paul was talking about how they sinking into the world. It was because of the woman Eve who hearkened to the voice of the serpent and was deceived. But Adam was not deceived. Therefore Paul says, I forbid a woman to take authority over the man or to speak and just be in silence and learn and be in subjection. Notwithstanding that, it is good that if she does have children. So why? They keep her away from being a busybody and trying to be somebody. Here a problem today we have in the world. Well, we have a population so little. What happened to our population? There are less people than people who die. Less children born than those who die. There are people who die. The population, the dying, the death, is the rate is bigger than the birth rate. Huh? Same thing with Japan and many other countries too. Because why? We are living in this last age. Laodicea. What is Laodicea? People's right. Leah Vishya is happened to be a woman's name. The woman also won their right. So they go to work. They get married. They want children. I earn my own money. I'm now a very important person in my company, you know. Huh? You know what I mean? After I leave this company, I'm going to open my own shop. I'm going to earn my million. No, they're all doing all this. Now we are living in the world like this. Not in the world that is 100 years, 200 years ago. Where women are actually the housewife. When the children come home, when the husband comes home, the wife is at home, preparing the food. Is that right? Today, you see a lot of kids go to school. When they come home, no need to knock the door. Just take the key, open the door, go home. Who is at home? The maid. Feed them. Papa is working, mama also work. You see, we are living in a world like this. What is it? Oh, that's a social problem. That's an economic problem. That may be true. You see, nevertheless, that's what Paul is trying to say. Woman, just keep your woman position. Notwithstanding, shall be saved in childbearing. Doesn't mean that. That means you should be kept away from being taking the authority over the man. You know, once again, let me give you an example here. Back in those days, 100 years ago, 1500 years ago, when the wife is at home doing the cooking, when the husband is have a job, is able to maintain the family. Now, if there's anything happening, you find that the wife does not always coddle the woman. But today, the woman are working, the husband is working. If there is no problem, I don't need your money. I can feed myself. You know what they say? You see how this really problem really is? But in those days, the women are always at home. That's the reason why when it comes to the place where Jesus talked about fornication and adultery. For the man who put away his wife without the cause of fornication or adultery, Jesus said, you men who put this wife away, who have not committed any fornication, you will cause her to commit adultery. Because why? You put her away, you marry another woman, what happened to her? In those days, a woman don't go and work. A man will marry her. And so if a man marry her, you have caused her to commit adultery. You see how it is all about. Society situation, cultural situation, yes, I know. Economic situation, yes, I know. But this thing still maintained that the woman should never take the authority or usurp the authority of the man. And Paul is trying to say that the woman should never be a woman preacher. Right? Because when you have children, Paul says, you should have children, so that you keep yourself busy with the children. But some people say that, well, it also has something to do with Artemis. You know Artemis? The goddess. The godless goddess. That is supposed to be a savior. A woman like Diana. You know Diana? The Greek goddess. Fertility. Because women who are going to give birth, they are afraid to give birth because in those days it is said, I don't think it is really true. There are a lot of people, more women die in childbirth than today. You know, that's what they say. But I have no idea whether how true that is. They will say that because why? In today we have modern medical technology. You see, to help people, women who have could not give birth, so they do cesarean, so forth and so forth. So she will not die in childbirth. But you know one thing I believe? The problem we have today is because of our lifestyle. If it is true that woman would die in childbirth in those days, 100,000 years ago, that means that something is wrong with God's word. Huh? In those days, was there Ebola? In those days, was there the disease TB? In those days, was there cancer? Huh? In those days, back in those days, there were all these kind of diseases that we have today. Hypertension, angina problem, high blood pressure, cholesterol. Do we have that kind of problem like that back in those days when the Jews were having the standard of living? So much different, isn't it? So we cannot say that it's true just based on what we have today. Alright, let's continue. Verse 19. Okay, verse 18. Verse in the last part says, I will show thee my faith by my works. That is to say, therefore, I say, that is to say, I saw. I say I believe in God. I say that I have this faith. Therefore, I must sow. Huh? You know, to sow, you must produce. Then when you sow, you must reap. Now, if you say you are a Christian, there's no change in you. You just like everything, all do all drama. You don't tell people about Jesus Christ. You don't go to church. You don't worship. You don't do what the Bible says it's supposed to do. Then you're not sowing. There's no life at all. But if you really have that life, you sow, therefore you must reap. I believe, I say I believe, then, well, I must have life. I'm a child of God. If I'm a child of God, then I live as a child of God. The Bible gives us God's word. When we believe the word of God, we must plant. If we don't plant, we don't get result. And our life is all about manifestation, planting. Okay? Alright. So if our life is changed, then we speak, then we have an action. You know what the Bible says? It is said that action speaks louder than words. That is true. I'm a Christian. Okay, good. People are watching your action. If your life is not showing the true action, all you do is cursing every day, and blame people, this, blame this, and all this, something is wrong with that. So you need to have that action. Alright, verse 19. Don't believe that there is one God. You do well. The devil also believe and tremble. So you believe in God and His word? How many of you believe in God and His word? You believe in God and His word? You believe in Christ and His word? So what would you do? What would you do? The Bible here, James says, also the devil believe. And they tremble. So the devil also believe God's word, but they tremble. You say you believe in God's word, what do you do? The devil knew that their time is short. What the Bible says about that is going to happen. They believe what God's word says and they tremble, they know it's real. And you said you believe in God's word, what do you do? Do you tremble and say, yes, God's word is real? God said, if I believe, I must do the work. Obey the word, do it. Well, that's the thing about what we know in churches today. Huh? It is, as Brother Paul, it's not about what the pastor said, you're okay. Everything's alright. It's about what the Bible said. Jesus said, if you love me, keep my word. Repent and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. Not necessary. My pastor said, that's not important. So you hear what the pastor said and know what Jesus said. Huh? And it is very common between Acts 2:38 and Matthew 28:19. Acts 2:38 was the word of Peter. Repent and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. Right? Matthew 28:19, Jesus said, be baptized in the name of Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Right? And there are some Christians say, oh, I'd rather take the word of Jesus Christ. I don't take the word of Peter. So you are saying that what Peter said, what Jesus said, one of them is wrong. You see, they are saying that I'd rather take Jesus' word than Peter's word. That means We must not accept all that which Peter wrote in the book of Peter's three epistles. You know that's how it is. You don't seem to understand. If you believe in God, you must understand His word. Without understanding, you fail to follow. So the question is, therefore, you say you believe in God, what would you do? Now let's continue. But without knowing, vain man, that faith without work is dead. Now, faith is not tangible. Something that you cannot handle and touch. It's not tangible. It might be just an abstract thing to many people. I have faith today when I leave this church, after the service, I have faith. After I leave this service, I'm going to have a nice plate of sashimi. Amen. See what you say, right? All you have to do is, I believe, because you desire, you crave for it, just go to a Japanese restaurant and get some sashimi. So you have faith and you do it. You see? So when you say you have faith, faith is not changeable. So how do you recognize it? You know, you say you have faith. You take food, for example. We know food. There are real food and there are fake food. Have you eaten fake meat? Or you can go and buy from a vegetarian store. Mock meat. Huh? You look like it. At first, when you buy this, like chicken drumstick. Look like very real, like chicken drumstick. But you buy it on it, it's all soya. Huh? So it's fake. Isn't it? So it's the same thing that you say you have faith. Is your faith real or is it fake? If your faith is real, you produce the real thing. Otherwise, if it's fake, it produces nothing. No effect. That is true. Alright. Hebrews chapter 11. I think we are all very familiar with Hebrews chapter 11, which is the faith chapter of Paul. Faith, chapter 11, the way of faith, all that which is mentioned here in this chapter. Here we have, like for example, a good example here is about Abraham. Verse 8. By faith, Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should afterward receive for an inheritance, obeyed. Let me read again. By faith, Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should after receive for inheritance, obeyed. And he went out, not knowing where he went. By faith, he sojourned in the land of promise, as in a strange country, dwelling in tabernacle with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. For he looked for a city which had foundation, whose builder and maker is God. Through faith also Sarah himself received strength to conceive seed and was delivered of a child when she was past age, because she judged him faithful who had promised. And so on about this man and woman of God. Abel as well. Huh? So, the faith that they have is not dead. God said to Abraham, this is a good example, sacrifice your son for me. And why is it so? And I think a lot of people don't seem to realize that. You've got to go back to what happened. When God called Abraham out of Ur of Chaldees, and then he said to Abraham, I will make you a father of a nation. I will give you a son. Right? Abraham said, I believe. And because he believed, God imputed upon him righteousness. All because of his faith. He believed what God said, so be it. Said, God, I believe. God will impute upon you righteousness. Not only that, God will test. One year after another, until you know, think how long for him to have a child? until the 25 years of his walk with the Lord in the faith, through the faith, that his wife was pregnant. And then the year following, 25th year of his life, 100 years later, 100 years of his age, he gave birth to Isaac. It was some, at least, slightly more than 2 decades when Isaac was a grown up man, about 20 years or so, or even older. Then Abraham was told by God, sacrifice him for me. Now, I don't know what will happen if you were Abraham. Don't think it is easy, because you read the Bible, you must understand the man that went through, huh? The struggles of this. And I was just thinking when I read it, and I was just thinking, what went through Abraham's mind? Well, he talked to God like this. Lord, you promised me a son, you give him to me now, and now you want to take him back? You want me to sacrifice him for you? You've got to be kidding. You know what I'm saying? But no, Abraham does not do that. When God says, sacrifice him to me. You know what went through his mind? Revelation. The faith. Because why? God said to him, God said to me, he gave me a son. Now I have the son. Now God asked me to sacrifice him. No problem. I know what you want, Father. You are testing my faith. When I sacrifice him, when I plunge the knife and cut his throat and drain his blood, you will have to raise him. You will have to raise him up from the dead. Because you promised a seed. And through this, I will be a father of nations. Right? You cannot change your word. I will sacrifice him. You have to raise him up. Is it not true? They say, Abraham, no problem. Take Isaac. Let's go. Isaac followed. So where is the wood, Father? I mean, where is the lamb? You are set up the altar now. Where is the lamb? Abraham said, the Lord will provide. And you are it. I said, I'm the one. I'm the lamb. Father? Abraham said, yes. What went through Isaac's mind? Father and son relationship are very real. What went through Isaac's mind? Father, did God say to you to sacrifice me? Abraham said, yes. Okay, I know what God wants. If I die, you sacrifice me, I will resurrect again. That's why you should be able to see a picture of God and his son, Jesus Christ. And Jesus said to the Father, you want me to die? You sacrifice? Okay. And I know, you raise me up again. If you're going to see this revelation, I don't know you. That's why I said, you need to know your Bible, and the Bible will become very real to you. To many people, the Bible is not real. They just read a story and like that. They don't even know what's revelation. You understand what I'm saying? And Jesus, that's what Jesus said. Eat, unless you eat my flesh and drink my blood, you don't have eternal life. And Jesus broke his body. He said, take it, eat. And that's why it's so important, even as Jesus told John on the Isle of Patmos in the vision. Eat it. Take the book and eat it. And if people don't want to eat the book, they go to church, they don't go to church. I feel like going to church, I don't want to go to church. I don't feel like going to church, I stay home. I don't feel a fellowship, I don't fellowship. You know. And people treat God, as I said, many people treat God as just like a commodities. When in trouble, call on him. More trouble, no. You understand what I'm saying? It's bad. The attitude of many Christians is bad. Alright, let's go back. Verse 21.
Was not Abraham our father justified by works when he had offered Isaac his son upon the altar? You see that? He was justified. Because he was willing to offer Isaac. Because he had faith in what God said. He had the revelation. That's how important it is to have revelation. If you don't have revelation, you don't know what you're believing in. It's just, oh, my pastor said so, and this one said so, I read in the book said so. But you don't have a revelation. You see, the Bible said even the devil believed that they have revelation. Do I not say that they are in for trouble? Do we have revelation? Or do we are sons and daughters of the Lord? If we have revelation, what do we do with this faith? Because Abraham had the revelation, had the faith. He was justified when God said sacrifice, and he knew what to do. And he just did it. Verse 22. See thou how faith wrought with his work. That is to say, his faith, the action, his action proved his faith. That he has a real faith and he was accepted. Do you understand? So, if people say, no, I don't want to be baptized in Jesus' name, it means something is wrong with that faith. If you say you believe, then you get yourself baptized right. If you believe, then you as a Christian live right, do the right thing. Otherwise, something is wrong with that faith. How faith wrought with his work, and by faith was, by works was faith made perfect. By his action, then he made his faith complete. You know, a person's faith as a Christian is not complete if it doesn't repent. Number one. If it doesn't be baptized. Number two. And thirdly, if it doesn't have the Holy Spirit, the work of grace as a gospel for salvation is not complete. If you have the Holy Ghost, repent is very simple. Huh? You just say, I repent, Lord Jesus Christ. Many times it's just a word without a meaning. You know what I'm saying? If you're told to repent, you just repent. You don't have the conviction that really you are a sinner. Yeah, I know I did some, I need bad thing, all this. Just Lord, forgive me, Lord. And you just confess, I repent. Oh, then water baptism. Okay, I just did water baptism. So you just obey. But do you have any real conviction in why you need it? And some people, they have to come up from water, they still remain a sinner. A wet one. That is to say, as Bob Evans said, go into the water, dry sinner, came out a wet one. Because there's no change. That's why you see how many people who have been to water baptism never really live the life of a Christian because they were not born again. They're still born. Not alive. Never cry, Abba Father. So, to believe as a Christian, this verse 23, and the scripture was fulfilled with, which said, Abraham believed God, and it was imputed upon him righteousness. That's right. Action speaks louder than words. Abraham, you believe, then I promise you that you will be a father of nation? Abraham said, yes. Okay, now sacrifice to me your son Isaac. So here is where your action must follow. Your action will speak louder than your word that you said, I believe. Your action will prove that you really believe that I, God, said that you will be a father of nations. God said to you and me, you are my child, you are my children, you are my son, you are my daughter. Huh? And you say, thank you, Lord. And God says, then if you love me, keep my word. Then he said, oh man, that's very hard, Leigh. Very hard, huh? To keep God's word. Very hard. But in the company, when you join a company, the company says, you should do this, huh? Okay, yes, best boss, best boss. Because when you don't do that, you lose your job. You know that, don't you? But when God said for us to do something, it seems so hard for us to do. So this is what I understand as to believe as a Christian. We must hear the word of God. We must understand the word of God.
If we don't, then we do not know how to respond to the word. When you respond to the word, this is what I found out. The simplicity of it all, reading this chapter. You respond to God's word, He blesses. I just want to write this down in this form. You respond to His word, to God's word, God blesses you. You do it, He gives to you His promise. I may not put it quite right, I'm just trying to see the whole picture. You respond to God's word. God said, you believe you do this, right? God told Abraham, give him your son. You respond to God's word, God will bless you. When you do it, He gives the promise to you. That means the promise will become real. God promised Abraham that he will be a father of nation, right? Correct? God said, sacrifice me your son. Okay, he responded. And God bless him. Because he did it. The promise that was given to him became real. Alright, so when you believe, it requires sowing. There's no, if you don't sow, you don't reap. Alright. verse 23. And the last part. And he called, and he was called the friend of God. Abraham was called a friend of God. How many of you want God to be your friend? Isn't it wonderful to be called a friend of God? And as Jesus Christ told the disciples, I no longer call you my friend. I mean, my servant. I call you my friend. What is a friend? Sometimes it has been said that a friend is closer than a brother. And that's particularly true. You see? Jesus said, you are not my servant. You are my friend. A friend is one whom a friend will talk to and disclose secret. Sometimes a man will not go and tell the parent what's bothering him or another brother in the family, but he'll go and talk to a friend. And so Jesus said, I no longer call you servant, I call you my friend. Abraham was a friend of God, a buddy-buddy. My goodness, God is our buddy. Buddy-buddy. You can talk to God like a buddy-buddy. Like that. Don't have to be. So, you know, uptight. God, listen. Verse 24. Ye see then how that by works a man is justified, not by faith only. So now you shall understand. So you know, to understand that you are justified by the manifestation of your faith. The just shall live by faith. Faith justifies a person when he believes. But here, to make it real, there must be a response, an action. And that is called work. So that's why James put it this way. By works a man is justified, not by faith alone. You can say whatever you like, you say you believe, but your life doesn't change, you don't show the life of a Christian, then you do not believe. Matthew 21. And we see verse 23. Matthew 21, verse 23. Is it 23? Matthew 21. Okay. But verse 23 onwards, we're not going to read all of it. Here we have the religious people came to Jesus Christ and tried to get him to establish his authority. Okay? So now in verse 28, because you see, the religious people does not do what the Lord tells them to do. Okay, they behave in a religious manner, but they are not keeping the word of God. So that's why they are questioning Jesus. So now Jesus gives them a parable.
verse 28. Of what think you? A certain man had two sons, and he came to the first and said, "Son, go work today in my vineyard." He answered and said, "I will not." But afterward he repented and went. And he came to the second and said likewise. And he answered and said, "I go, sir." And he went not. Which of them two did the will of his father? They said unto him, "The first." Jesus answered unto them, "Verily I say unto you, that the publicans and the Herod go into the kingdom of God before you. For John came unto you in the way of righteousness, and you believe him not. But the publicans and the harlots believe him, and ye, when you have seen it, repent not afterward, that ye might believe him." So that's the religious people. They don't believe, even though they say they believe, and they know that they don't do it. Huh? So which is the one that do the will of the Father? The one that says, "No, I wouldn't go," but later on he went. The one that said, "I will go," but he didn't go. The same as some Christian like that. "Yes, God, yes, Lord, I'll do it. But he didn't do it. The one said, "I won't do it," but later on convicted, he did. Huh? You understand? You see, the one who do the will of the Father is the one that obeys the word and perform it. Alright. Okay, we read from verse 24. Oh, verse 25 now. "Likewise also was not Rahab, the harlot, justified by works, when she had received the messenger and had sent them out another way." Oh, there is Rahab. You know Rahab, the story of Rahab, Rachel. We read it, Rahab, but the Hebrew is Rachel. Okay, what happened? Here she heard all the news about the Israelites, how powerful they were, how they have God and blessed them, and they conquered the land and all this. So now they're coming over to Jericho. And she believed that this God that these Jews worship is strong and mighty and is true God. So when the two spies came in, and she took the opportunity to hide down and make them to promise that if they come and into this city of Jericho, that she and his family, her family, will be saved. And the two spies said to them, "We will. All you have to do is, when we come in, this red tramp, hang it out on the door and our window. Make sure that it's there. And anybody that is in the house, in this room, will be saved. If any of them is killed, then we are responsible." And Rahab believed them. But what did she do? Did she just sit idle and do nothing? No, she actually went and hang up the red colored thread. She did it. She had to do it. She don't just sit idle. Yeah, the spy promised that me and my family in the house will be saved. But they were following the instruction. They were told to put that scarlet thread. And they have to, because that's a sign to all the soldiers of Israel army that went in, that when you see this scarlet thread at the door of the window, don't kill anybody in there. We are responsible for them. Do you understand this? So that's why the action is important. Lastly, verse 26. "For as the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without work is also dead." So, what do we do in conclusion? Examine the word. When we say it, then we do it. We say we believe, we put ourselves in action. Otherwise, all that we say about our faith will be in vain. By grace are we saved through faith. That not of yourself, is a gift of God. But yet it is by faith. By revelation we also walk in what we have received of God. Is that right? And in the faith, the precision that we stand. All this is reality of life in Christ Jesus. And therefore, we believe, we confess, we do it. Amen? Heavenly Father, Lord, thank you for grace. Now again, bless the word, Lord. Take what has been spoken. Break it up for the Lord in the hearts of your people. And make the word a reality alive in us, Lord. And we can see that the Word of God is not dead. That the Spirit of the Word of life is that which you have spoken even before the foundation of the world. And this is that bread of life that we should live by, that which we should consume, Father. Eat it, digest it, and then, Lord, it will be nutrient to us in this body and to the soul. And all that which we have learned, Father, that we hide it in our heart, that we may not sin against Thee. Father, now bless today, bless the rest of the day. We ask it in Christ Jesus' name. Amen.